out. Oh, baby, what a play.
This is Jeff Fedotin with Believe in Chiefs on the Believe Network, Kansas City's number one sports podcast network, the only place with a show for every team in KC and more. We believe in our teams. Do you believe? On this week's show, former Kansas City Chiefs offensive lineman Joe Valerio and I discuss the Chiefs opener. And it's also the NFL season opener against the Lions. It's finally here. But first, Joe, I had an opportunity to interview Joe Montana last week about his new whiskey business. He's such a big name. He's such a big name that I interviewed him actually from the hospital a day after my son was born. And actually, it was supposed to be a Zoom, and it would have been cool to see his face and for him to see my face. But, you know, we did a call because I was worried about connectivity and noise in the hospital. Anyhow, here I am jumping through hoops to interview him, probably putting my marriage in peril because my wife is questioning why I'm being interviewed the day after. And it occurred to me, Mitt, I'm so excited just to talk to him. You not only caught passes from Joe Montana, you caught touchdowns as an offensive lineman. You caught them against the 49ers. Joe, do you ever – so this is going through my mind. Do you, like, pinch yourself ever thinking about that you had this opportunity?
All the time, Jeff. All the time. I mean, it's – I can't even – sometimes it's – I don't even – I can't fathom how much – like how cool that was, right? Mm-hmm. To be a part of his, you know, touchdown receiving repertoire, right? I mean, it's crazy to think about, like, the fact that I, and in some cases, like, caught more than some of his receivers.
Yeah.
Like, which is crazy, right? To think about and to know that, even though, like, you know, Joe's, I mean, he's older than I am. Like, I mean, he'd be the first to admit it. I mean, I watched Joe as a very formative in my formative years, right? Mm-hmm. of my relative youth. And, you know, then all of a sudden to be on the field with him and in the huddle, and then to be on the other end of a receiving touchdown from him, like, and especially in the games too. Like, that's the other pinch. Like, I pinch myself the fact that it happened and happened multiple times. Mm-hmm. Then I pinch myself about the games that it happened in, right? The Raiders. The Chiefs number one, I don't care what anybody says, they're still and will always be the Chiefs number one opponent, right? Raiders week, right? So Raider week, I call one Raider week, right? Then you go to fast forward to the next season and it was, you know, the 49ers shootout, Joe Montana versus Steve Young. And then Monday Night Football.
Yeah, sorry Joe, I shouldn't have interrupted there, but yeah, that – Chiefs Niners game. I mean, that goes. All those games are big games, big rivalry games. But Joe Montana versus former, like, that one is like for the annals of all time. That's like one of the biggest, like, regular season games of all time. You know, like when I edited 100 things Chiefs fans should know and do before they die, that was ranked pretty high up. As was the Broncos Monday night game. I think was in there too. So you're catching touchdowns on two of like the most famous regular season games ever for the Chiefs.
Yeah, it wasn't like, no offense to, you know, the pick a team, you know, the Seahawks or, you know, somebody who was just mired in anonymity or mediocrity at that point, right? It wasn't like it was just, you know, some team that was, you know, 1-12 when we played them and it was like, all right, ho-hum. Mm-hmm. You know, it was those games. Like, that's – anyway, long – I know we talked about it for you and it kind of is – it's apropos to you, you know, talking to Joe this week, but – yeah, I do, Jeff. I do literally have to pinch myself sometimes when I think about it.
That's awesome that you have such cool perspective about that, but because that was definitely going through my head. Well, obviously what fans are tuning in here to listen to us break down and preview the Lions game on Thursday, and we'll get to that in a second. But first, Bet Online is your number one source for all your betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and of course, the NFL season, which is kicking off with the Chiefs. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games, available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. Well, Joe, back to the games at hand rather than the Joe Montana games. Yeah. So I see this game on Thursday as very high scoring. And My take is after the Chiefs and the Eagles, we've talked about this a lot, and I know you've talked about it on 810 radio on Tuesday mornings, but the Chiefs and Eagles in some order probably have the best offensive lines in football. The Lions might be number three. They have a very good offensive line, and they have two good running backs, new additions, actually, David Montgomery from the Bears and rookie Jahmyr Gibbs. So I expect them to try and crank out chunks of yards and keep Mahomes off the field. And I think they're going to have some success moving the ball. I think they're going to put some points up. I'm just not sure the Lions will be able to stop the Chiefs. They ranked dead last in the NFL in defense last year, and they have some additions, but still. Anyhow, so that's my take, Joe. I see a high-scoring game. I see the Lions focusing on the run. What's your take?
Yeah, I think, well, you know, Jared Goff is a great game manager. He's definitely in the top third of quarterbacks. You know, he's got the pedigree. He can play. I think the addition of this, you know, running attack now that they have, and the fact that this offensive line is playing together for the first time since 2000 or 2020, I believe. So it's been, you know, 3 years since they've had a consistent offensive line coming into the season. So I think they've got to be excited about that. Jonah Jackson, their left guard, is actually, I saw him play high school football, coached against him when he was in high school at our rival at the high school, not where I went, but the high school where I coached. And which was also a rival of one of the high schools where I went, Pencrest High School here in the Philadelphia area. So, yeah, I watched him kind of grow, air quote, grow up. So, you know, excited.
Doing that was he pretty, I imagine he had a future NFL player. He was pretty dominant against you guys, or did you guys hold your own?
But we held our own. Like, he, you know, he played on a relatively smaller school than ours. You know, he very talented, went on to have, you know, finish out a great career at Ohio State. So we all knew he was a top, top Division I prospect. But, you know, football is a, you know, what I would call a weak link sport, right? You need more than one player to sort of dominate. So, yeah, so watched him play, and he was fantastic. And it's a great – plus he's just a phenomenal human being, which is even makes you even more happy. So, anyway, that offensive line is good. I still have a feeling, even without Chris Jones, I just still have a feeling that the Chiefs are going to win this game relatively big. And I just have a feeling they're going to put together a game plan that's going to keep – Jared Goff from really getting into a rhythm. So, you know, my prediction, not to jump too far ahead, I know we like to do that sometimes at the end of the pod, but, you know, I'm seeing this game as like a 27-13 game. And I know that sounds like, what? Like, first game of the year, everybody's kind of feeling their way around. But I just have a feeling that the Chiefs offense is going to ramp up as the game gets going, and they're just going to start pulling away. I mean, the line is 6.5. That's a touchdown, you know. I just see the Chiefs getting rolling end of second quarter, into the third quarter, finish the game off with like a, you know, 27-13, 2-touchdown win. I just have a good feeling. And now that does not take anything away from the Lions. I think the Lions are an up and coming team, and I could totally see this team, you know, winning 11 games this year, maybe 10, 11 games. So, I know they're an up-and-coming team. They're playing in a, you know, a division where they can, I think, win more games than they won last year and make a playoff run. I just have a feeling that with all the preparation this team, this Chiefs team, has done, coming off the momentum of last year, that they're going to pull away. That's my prediction, and I know that's a sounds like a Chiefs homer prediction, but I feel really strong about this team starting out and actually overcompensating for not having Chris Jones. I think Spagnuolo is going to put together a nice blitz package to keep Jared Goff on his toes.
Yeah, I you know, and they've you mentioned not having Chris Jones, and Joe, that 27-13 score was the same one you predicted, I know, on A10 Radio, and I encourage anyone to listen. Joe does a great job, 7:30 a.m. Central every Tuesday, or you can just listen to the podcast version. Same score. I admire that you were consistent, you know, Joe, with that score. You're not trying to give different scores to throw enough darts out there. But so you're maintaining the same score, although so on Tuesday, which is the last media day the Chiefs have because it's a Thursday game, Andy Reid opened up his press conference and he said that Travis Kelce hyperextended his knee. Now, we don't know what that means. It's since been reported his ACL is intact, so the most dire of outcomes has been, that's been ruled out. And it could be anything from a bone bruise to, anything. But Joe, if he's, this is close before the game, one, do you think he plays? I know we don't have a lot of information. The practices part where he got tweaked, it was closed. Do you think he plays? And that, does that impact your prediction of what goes on Thursday night?
That's a great point, Jeff. This team is obviously built around players, and Andy does an amazing job of building a playbook around his players, which I've always admired. I've mentioned it many, many, many times on the pod, right? That he's a master at both meeting the playbook to the players and the players to the playbook. Not many coaches do it as well as he does. But I do think that this team is well-rounded enough. I think they're, the fact that Travis may or may not play, I don't know if it really, that's not going to change my thoughts on this. I still think this team has all the right tools to have a 2-touchdown win and to hold, the Lions point totals down. I still feel like the Lions are going to be trying to gauge this offense that they have too. They're going to be trying some new things. Yes, the Lions intact. Jared Goff's got, a couple years under his belt now with the Lions. But I just have a feeling that, the Chiefs are going to be a little bit too much for the Lions this opening week. I might think differently. If Travis isn't playing and Chris Jones isn't playing week 8 and the Lions know who they are and the Chiefs know who they are, maybe I think it's a 1-touchdown game for the Chiefs, maybe even closer, maybe a field goal because of watching what the Lions did. I just don't know if the Lions can continue the momentum that they had based on some of the new players that they've picked up. And the fact that they're coming into Arrowhead on a Thursday night primetime where this Chiefs team's going to be ready to roll. Now, I never really answered your question about Travis. Does he start? I don't know. I don't think I start him. I mean, that's just my opinion. I think you wait to see game time decision, how he's feeling. If they jump out, the Chiefs jump out to a 7-0 lead, they start early, or maybe they defer the kickoff and then they hold the Lions and then they score on their first possession. And I just think they hold them until maybe they possibly need them. If he's playable, if he's actually can play. If he's not, I think Andy Reid doesn't do anything silly week 1. We need Travis Kelce for the whole year. But, if he's playable and he tells the coaches he's good and they believe him that he's not just being a hero, then, I think they hold him out until they might need him just to get him out there.
Yeah, Joe, the thing for me for this game is I touched on this a little bit before, but I just can't get over. I actually think it's going to be closer than your prediction. The Lions did, their defense should be better. They have a young Aiden Hutchinson was so good as a rookie. He should be even better as a second-year guy. And they made some additions. They added Cameron Sutton, CJ, you remember Joe from the Eagles, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. That's a nice addition right there. They drafted some guys, Brian Branch, a guy who could have gone in the first round. Safety from Alabama is pretty good. They like Jack Campbell, a guy they drafted, middle linebacker. But Joe, this defense was just 32nd overall last year, dead last in yards allowed, and they were bad against the pass and the run. I just don't see, even if Kelce doesn't play, which nobody really knows because there hasn't been information released, but it's so close to the game, I would guess that he doesn't. I just don't see how the Lions can stop the Chiefs. Like, I just think it's going to be high scoring. I think both teams are going to, they've come up with so many cool game plans and plays, and I think the defenses won't have like quite gelled yet, and especially the Chiefs missing Amenihu and Jones on the defensive line. I think the Chiefs are going to give up some points. I could actually see, because the Chiefs seem to always do this, like I could see the Lions jumping out to a lead even late and just Mahomes bringing him back like he always does from a deficit. Yeah. So I think it's going to be high scoring. I think 34-30, 35-30 Chiefs. I think where I differ, Joe, is I just think the Lions will score more points. I think they've got some real weapons you know, and Jonah Jackson, that offensive line, Joe, do you agree with me that they, you know, I think the Eagles and Chiefs are kind of top tier, but the Lions might be the, as somebody who knows offensive line play, do you agree that they're kind of maybe that third best or something like that?
Yeah, they're definitely top five, top five line. I mean, they're and I, you know, anytime, even an opponent, I love to see an offensive line gel and play together and stay together and build chemistry, because I, you know, I love the position, right? And I just love to see good, solid offensive lines that do everything right. And they're definitely one of those teams. So, yeah, I totally agree that it could possibly go that way. There's just something in my gut in this relatively little time to analyze, right, the preseason, we don't really get to see a whole lot, right? We don't get to see a whole lot of finished product, and certainly nothing from the Lions, right? I mean, as a couple of guys who follow, you know, the AFC and the Chiefs, like, you know, we don't get to see a whole lot of the Lions. I quite frankly haven't really seen much tape on them, to be honest. I just know that I'm kind of going off of my gut of where I know this team is in their development and where the Chiefs are in their sort of life cycle. And that's what I'm going off of. Cause you know, the opening week is, you're right, it could go either way. I mean, this could be a high 30s game where teams it's just a barnstormer, right? Chiefs are going to have to find their way with their receiving core. They may air it out. They may try to keep the ball on the ground and see how Isaiah Pacheco does. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see. And this first game, we'll know a lot more after this. We'll have a lot more to talk about, obviously, about what this team's chemistry is and what the makeup is, especially if Travis we know Chris Jones isn't going to play, but especially if Travis doesn't play, we're really going to find out about this team, because we're going to see what the Chiefs linebacking core can do against this running back, you know, sort of stable that the Lions have. And we're going to see sort of the maturation of a lot of players who pretty young. I mean, the Chiefs defense is still relatively young defense. So I'm hoping for a big maturation out of that. And I'm hoping for, you know, maturation in the defensive backfield, you know, as these guys play more and more together and figure out where each other's going to be on the field. I think, you know, I'm going to make a bold prediction that the defense, in some ways this year, in some games, could outshine the offense.
Yeah.
You know, I think the defense is going to be a lot harder to get to know from the other side of the ball than the Chiefs offense, right? Because you know defensive coordinators spent – if the Chiefs are on your schedule, you spent the entire offseason watching their offense, right? Just to figure out how you're going to stop it, especially in the AFC West where you got to stop it twice. So, you know, you just hope that this defense can sort of begin to outpace the offense a little bit, because we know that that's probably what's going to get them through a repeat Super Bowl is how their defense plays. You know, not to pull out the old cliche that, you know, offense wins games, defense wins championships. But I think this year in particular, this defense is going to have to outshine the offense in certain games.
Great points there, Joe. We're going to take a real quick pause here. Joe, I'm curious. So what is there a matchup that you're most intrigued to see, player to watch, matchup to watch for Thursday night's game?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm two things. I'm excited to watch the offensive line for the Chiefs to see how the tackles do. Real game, real life scenario, pads on, no preseason, you know, no like nine snap games, you know, for an offensive line, like a full 60-minute, you know, 55 to 70 play game for these tackles to see if we are absolutely, you know, in a spot where, you know, these tackles do what we ask them to do in signing them. That's my first thing I'm going to watch for, of course, right? I'm going to go to the line. The next thing I'm excited about is
we're going to have bet online odds on how often you When you have matches to watch, you go against, you don't pick the offensive line. We'll start
there. And you know what? Maybe if this offensive line plays stellar and these two tackles do what they're supposed to do, maybe we take a couple of weeks off from the offensive line, unless there's some major rush end or some incredible defensive front that the Chiefs have to play against. And I'm sure we'll figure that out as we move along. But I'm really excited to watch this linebacking core.
I'm
another year under their belt. They're fast. We've got depth. So I'm sure we're going to see some rotations in there. I'm anxious to see what Coach Spags does with, you know, the traditional 4-3, especially not having Chris Jones. Are we going to play a little bit more 4-3 to stop the run? Are we going to be in that 4-2-5 like nickel, which most NFL teams play now on first and second down? So because of the style of play now. So I'm excited to watch that. I'm excited to see the rotation. If I'm a fan, I'm looking for the rotation of the linebackers. How many linebackers do they play at any given moment and in what situations? And then how well do they get to the ball and do they make plays against, again, back to offensive line, against a really, really good offensive line? Because I think it's a big game for them. Not having, you know, two of your star defensive line up front, right? The guys who are supposed to keep those big guys off of your linebackers, not having two of those guys, it's going to be interesting to see how this linebacking core can step up and really take control of the game.
And that's a great one to pick. That I'm excited to see how Tranquil fits in. He's such a versatile guy. In addition, from the Chargers, so excited for this game. Even my dog's excited. You could hear him.
Everybody's excited.
In the background. You know, the matchup I think I'm most interested in seeing is, you know, I don't think the Lions are going to be able to stop the Chiefs, and I think the Chiefs are going to put up a lot of points. I think one of the issues with the Lions' defense, I don't think their corners are great. And then the Chiefs have so many new wide receivers. They have 7 on the roster. Who emerges? And can the Lions keep pace with those guys? I think that's going to be fun to watch. Another guy I'd encourage fans to watch is, who I'm sure fans are well aware of, Jahmyr Gibbs, the Lions running back. You know, they drafted a running back awfully high in the first round, which is unusual in this era of, you know, the running backs being devalued. So that tells you what they think of him. And he was really dynamic at Alabama. Alabama has produced so many really good NFL running backs, whether it's, you know, guys around now like Damian Harris and Najee Harris, or, you know, guys like Eddie Lacy, who had a couple real good years but kind of before fading away for the Packers. And, you know, Gibbs, I think, was as good, if not better, than any of these guys. Really, really impressive to watch. They say that they're going to use him kind of like Alvin Kamara, like he's going to run, you know, between the tackles, interior runs, but also they're going to get him into space. He's going to catch some passes. So I think that's going to be fun to watch. You know, he's a in the Chiefs, Joe, it's kind of interesting. Coach Spags said that they've been watching Alabama tape to kind of get a feel on him, because obviously he played in the preseason, but not a lot. So I think I'm so excited for this game that it not only the Chiefs, just to get this started.
Yeah, it's about time, right? And the fact that all eyes are going to be on Thursday Night Football, opening game, Chiefs on the big stage, right? They're going to have all their peers watching, right? Because, you know, Thursday's a relatively tough day of practice, but it's, you know, they knowing that Friday is probably either going to be a light day, you know, with the walkthrough and limited contact, and then you're going to have, you know, maybe some teams maybe do a two-day travel that they might leave on a Friday and spend Saturday in the visiting city. So like everybody's going to be watching this game. And peers, fans are, you know, every NFL fan is itching for the season to get started. So that's what I think makes it exciting about opening up on Thursday Night Football for the Chiefs, is that everybody's going to be watching this. And I think that's why I think the Chiefs are, Andy loves being on that stage. As humble of a guy as he is, we all know how humble he is, and he treats, you know, every game the same. I mean, he does. You gotta, you know, he steps up in these big games, and I think Patrick loves being on the stage, you know, just watching, you know, quarterback and seeing how he, you know, really gets going when the game's, you know, really has, when playing for meat, with there's real meaning to the game. And I think this is one of those games, again, for all those reasons. The whole world's going to be watching this game. Every NFL fan who likes football, you might even be a cheat. You may be a diehard Raiders fan. You're going to be watching this game because, number one, you're going to
– God forbid.
What's that?
Still, I said God forbid. But
yeah, yeah, God forbid. But they're still going to be watching. They're going to be watching, number one, because they're going to want the Chiefs to lose, right, because they're going to want to watch. And then they're going to be watching the game because, you know, it's the Chiefs and they know the Raiders are going to play the Chiefs twice. So, like, even like a Raiders fan is going to be watching this game. So that's exciting for the team and the city.
And I really think it's going to be a fun matchup. We have two really good offenses, so I think it's going to be – even – If you know, I didn't have a connection to either of these teams, I'd be really curious to check it out. My one quibble, and this is me being a wet blanket, Joe, as excited as I am watching for the NFL season to kick off, for the Chiefs to kick off. You know, I've been watching old games on NFL Network. I'm getting pumped. Man, the only thing is, like, I feel that it doesn't feel like the season was that long. I mean, the Chiefs, they played through the Super Bowl, and then they had, you know, they had the draft in the Kansas City, which was almost like an extension of the season, you know, which I covered between the parade and the ring ceremony. I felt like this offseason felt so short. So my old jaded sports writer body is a little kind of, I could have maybe used a little bit more time. It's weird. So it's on both sides. Like, I'm very excited about it. I love that football's back, but also I could have maybe used a little bit more time to decompress.
Well, Jeff, think about it. We're doing this every week. So we're talking about it. The NFL gives you plenty to talk about, right, with the way that they set things up. And I think this season, this offseason in general, has had a lot of good news for us to share. So I think that has made it seem short in that there was always something to talk about, you know, with the NFL. And I think, you know, between the golf tournaments and Patrick and Travis playing golf and,
yeah,
you know, just the new quarterback series that came out, Peyton Manning, and, of course, because we're Chiefs fans, right? We're excited because Patrick was in it. So, like, there's just been a lot to keep, like, it seemed like the season was going.
Saturday
so
live with Kelsey, like, you're right.
Right.
It was really something like every kind of, yeah, you're right. That's a good.
And then, and this holdout, like the Chris Jones holdout has actually really sped the offseason up for me because, Jeff, I can admit when I'm wrong. I thought he'd be playing in this game. I did, and if you go back and listen to our previous podcast, I was wrong with that prediction. I thought that he would be on the field, given this game coming up. I did not think he would hold out and miss a game. I think you were kind of in the camp that weren't you thinking a little bit that he might miss a little bit, or
you know,
a little bit of a late start.
I was also wrong. I thought he'd miss some of training camp, but I did not think he would miss regular season games, which, barring something very unforeseen, that's going to be the case. I'm pretty surprised. I think everyone was surprised. I mean, Andy Reid, they asked him whether Chris Jones would be at training camp, right? But he's like, oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, he didn't leave any doubt. So I think everyone has been surprised by this. And, I still think he shows up. I don't think it's going to take – I don't think this is going to week 8. I think he was just kind of trolling on social media. Yeah. I can't imagine that's going to be the case. But again, this is just the reality. You know, if misery loves company or whatever, this might just be the reality. The new NFL, Nick Bosa, who's just as important to the 49ers, is still out. Brian Burns, who's a little more underrated, but he could, another edge rusher for the Panthers. So this might just be kind of the reality. And I do think, though, the good thing with the Chiefs is, like, you know, we know Kelsey doesn't have too serious an injury. You know, we know it's not at least an ACL. We know Amena, who's going to come back. Chris Jones will come back at some point. You have all those guys. You know, the Chiefs just need to be they're going to make the playoffs no matter what. So they just need in this thing and have their bodies healthy toward the end of the season. And then you're kind of with Reed, Mahomes, all that crew, you got to like the chances against anyone, you know?
Yeah, definitely. But I got to keep, you know, my prediction was that this team goes 14-3. And so, you know, Chris Jones has got to come back just so I can keep my prediction.
I think that's, we'll cut you some slack if on the prediction. If you know that was, we'll give you an asterisk because we knew that we were thinking that Chris Jones would be there, and I agree they might. I think they'll be fine in the long run, but if the holdout continues, you know, they might drop a game or two that they might not have.
Yeah.
Well, if you enjoy this show presented by Bet Online, please subscribe. We're available on your favorite directories, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Luminary, and TuneIn. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.
Go Chiefs!